pictures.
Okay.
So everything we hear, sometimes the things that affect us the most are not the chidushim, are not the things that we've never heard before, but it's a concept that, like, wow, this really makes a lot of sense. And that's what Basil Sharm is all about, saying, you know, yeah, I really, these values are really important to me. Yeah? So I heard the speech. First, I'll just tell you about this fly. I'll tell you two stories about flies, okay? Because this fly is not stopping to make us crazy. One time, Rav Scheinberg, oh man, Moshe, you're the best.
You got it?
He got him. Wow, Moshe, give me five with the other hand. Yeah. Okay, listen to this.
Is that recorded?
One time, Rav Scheinberg. Okay, everyone knows who Rav Scheinberg is. The Rav with tons and tons of statistics. American. He used to play baseball, home lefty. He was the Masman, Torah, became a good Lador. Sadik. Okay, there's a great biography about him from Art School. So, one time he was somewhere learning in the country one summer, and there's some little kid, like, somehow stepped on a beehive or something, and there were... Basically, the bees just like, and if you're a little kid, if you're an adult, that could kill you. But if you're a little kid, for sure, it could kill you. Rav Scheinberg was like nearby, just came and started shooing them away. And like, none of them bit him. Like, literally just like stood there, shooing them away. And the kid was able to move away, and he just stood there, shooing them away. And they didn't touch him. And I heard, you have to read these biographies to learn about great people, you know. I don't know if you could be like them, but you could strive to be like them. There's biographies about Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, or Moshe Feinstein. There's a story about Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, I think it was, that he was in the country, either Rav Yaakov or Moshe, one of their grandchildren, they said they were in the country with him, and there was tons of flies. You know, sometimes you ever go up camp, it's just like, certain spots are just like, they said no fly got within Dalat Amos of him. They just didn't get in his area. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, he's sitting a few feet away from him, and they're swarming him, and he's like right here, and it just doesn't touch him, doesn't get close. So we see that Kedusha, it's not just a spiritual thing, you know, but it has effects in this world also. Okay, so listen to this part of Torah. How many people dream about, making it really, really big in life? Oh, I want to make it really big, right? I want to retire early. Anybody? Everybody? Nobody? What?
A hen?
Not one?
A hen?
It's too early to think? What?
A hen?
Anybody?
No, Ash,
you dream about making it really big, you know, being super financially successful.
Yes,
is that?
Yes, we all do.
Benny's the speaker of the speaker of the house today.
Okay,
so that's like a dream that's like built in. Like, that's a dream that a lot of people say, yeah, you know, I want to be super successful. I just want to be super successful. But one of the things, like everything in life, okay. Having a lot of money is also a very big test. Like everything in life, we understand that, right? Being poor is a very big test in your avodas Hashem. Being middle class is a big test, and being super filthy wealthy is a big test, right? Now this week's parsha says something so. It's nothing to do with you rich or poor, but this is the message. It says the tocha. Did you guys hear the tocha on Shul about Corey ran really fast through it? Maybe. Okay, it talks about all the horrible things that happened to us. So listen what the pasuk says. Why do we get the tocha? Why mothers eating their children? This is horrific. Okay, horrific. Tachas asher lo avadeta es Hashem elokecha b'simcha. What does that mean? Because of the fact you didn't serve Hashem with happiness. Why? Merov kol, because you had so much. What does that mean? What does that mean? You had so much. There's a pasuk that says vayishman Yisrael yishurim vayivat, that we got so fat we kicked. Like kicked Hashem, became so focused on ourselves. But listen to this. Rashi learns the pasuk and says, "Is machlokas rishonim." Despite the fact you had everything going good for you, you still couldn't serve Hashem properly. But listen to what the Rambam says. You got the first shot. Despite the fact of everything, says the Rambam. No, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva seems to say not like that. The Rambam seems to say because, not despite, because you had so much, because it's the cause. You messed up. What does that mean, Michael? Because you had so much? Why? So listen to this pshat. It's so powerful. What does kol mean? Merov kol. You had everything. You know, if a kid is raised, and I'm as a parent, I'll tell you, you want to pamper your kid. You want to spoil them rotten. You do. You love them. You don't want them to feel a drop of discomfort ever. Right? But if you spoil them, and you pamper them too much, you know what's going to happen? If they have kol, if they have everything... You know what happens? As soon as things go a little bit off, They don't know how to deal with it. They have no training. As soon as the situation doesn't work out for them the way they want it to work out, they fall apart. You know what it means to serve Hashem? Avdus. Asher lo avalita. So powerful. Serving Hashem means... Is it called serving Hashem if, like, it goes easy for you? I mean, that is serving Hashem, but is that real avdus? Real avdus means when you tell your slave, hey, buddy, you know, schlep this to there, and he doesn't want to do it, and Evid has to do it. Serving Hashem means where you don't want to. Sounds a little bit like, yeah, okay, I go to Seder, and you know, this guy gave a great example. Hosting guests. I love hosting guests. My kids are upset when we don't have you guys for Shabbos. How come there's no Bachur? Right? So, now, that's great. But is that real deal? Does the buck stop there, Hachnasas Orchim? I have you guys, sure, it's a lot of work. My wife works hard cooking like crazy and hosting. But we love it. We enjoy it. What about those guests that call up that are like, just, you know, oh, this guy. Oh, we're not home for the next 6 years. I'm sorry, you know? Oh, but I'm a nice guy. You know why? Because I'm nice to people that I like being nice to. Yeah, I could be nice to you guys, but someone, oh, him, he's annoying. I'm not nice to him. Are you a nice guy? How many people think they're nice guys because they're nice to their friends? That's not called nice. If you're not nice to your friends, then you're a pig. But if you're nice to your friends and you're not nice to people that are annoying, are you a nice guy? Really? If you serve Hashem when it's easy, when it goes well, it flows, is that an Eved? No, you're serving Hashem. You're a tzaddik. You're a tzaddik. Fantastic. But are you an Eved? An Eved does it when it's hard. When it doesn't go well. I'm not in the mood to have these people over now. Or I'm not in the mood to learn now. I'm not in the mood for morning sitter. I'm not in the mood for davening. I'm not in the mood for this. Okay, now that's where it starts being an Eved. As soon as you're out of your comfort zone. Oh, I can't stand speaking to my grandmother. As soon as you're out of your comfort zone, that's what it means to be an Eved. That's what it means. So you had coal. You had so much going for you that you couldn't serve Hashem. You couldn't get out of the box. So powerful that, you know, I heard from another big Rav. He said once, you know, a person has 9 bedrooms in their house, and to 8 of them, or 7 of them, he says, Hashem, please come in. Come in. But to other, his entertainment room or whatever it is, he says, bedroom, he says, oh, not here, Hashem, please. This is my, here, you take 8 rooms, I'll take 1. He says, no. Hashem, where does Hashem want to be? He wants avdus. And why does Hashem want avdus? Why would you want to make, Hashem loves us. Why would I want to make you uncomfortable? Why would I want to make you uncomfortable? So like, I have to make my kid, like I one of my kids, for example, I'll give you a good example, okay? And it's not going to be true for Hashem, but I'll give you an example, the idea. One of my kids, okay, they're in carpool, and I feel like, and there's a lot, the school's like a 15-minute walk, but I arranged a carpool, and it's going great, but you know, this kid gets no exercise, not so active, and I felt like it wasn't healthy for this kid, for this child. So even though, you know, I presented in a way, I felt bad, like, I wish I could just drive the kid right there and deposit them in their classroom and give them a chocolate bar and stroke their cheek, you know? But that's not the best thing for this kid, is to have a good walk every day. It's good for the child. So, of course, I package it like, oh, it's so good for you, you'll be with your friend. And now the child's doing it, and it's good. Even though, like, I would much rather just make things easy, okay? You know, or when you go to when it's your first few days, you take your kids to school the first time, let's say, you know? They don't want you to leave. Right? So if you stand there, I made this mistake with my oldest kid, if you stand there, it makes it harder for you to leave. And you just get sucked deeper into the trap of staying in the kindergarten forever, you know? like can't you, if your parents are still there for years, you know? But, so, like, you gotta say goodbye, kid, I love you, give him a kiss. Okay, the first day you stay a little bit, but, like, at some point, goodbye, and you leave. And your kids say, no, go! But you gotta go. If you stay, it just makes it harder. So, you gotta train yourself. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard for us. That's good. Okay? Now, what's avdus? It says, Tachas Ashilovata Hashem Elokecha B'simcha V'tov Leivav Meirov Kol Everything. We want everything. But we have to know that where the going gets hard, that's where it starts. Now listen to this. Why would Hashem do it? Doesn't Hashem love us? Why would Hashem want to make us uncomfortable? Craig, why would Hashem make us uncomfortable? it's a beautiful shot. You know what happens? Like, I did it for my daughter, for my kid, because it's better for them. It's better for them, you know? So how is it better for us to be uncomfortable? To move out of our comfort zone? Hashem, do me a favor. Let me, like, when it comes to not kosher gum, just you're not invited to that area of my life. But when it comes to my devices, you're not invited. When it comes to my relationships, you're not invited. Yes?
Throughout life, you're going to have those situations, and if you're not used to them, it's just going to make them worse. So at some point, you have to get used to them.
Okay. Because Joey says, like, we need.
It's in your bubble your whole life.
Yeah, things. There are bumps. There are bumps in life, and we spoke about this a lot. Being ready. Being ready.
That's what makes you a person. Otherwise, like,
okay. Okay. Good. But I'm talking about now specifically in Avodas Hashem. We all want to serve Hashem. Specifically in serving Hashem, Benny. Why is it so important that we like that Hashem does makes us uncomfortable? Specifically, like a guy says, "Rav, I'm not in the mood." That's the time to learn. Yeah, you're an Eved Hashem. So check this out. Who is the biggest Eved Hashem? Who does the Torah crown as an Eved Hashem?
Moshe
Rabbeinu, right? Moshe Rabbeinu. You know what happened to him? The pasuk says, "Shechina midaberes mitoch grono." You know what that means? Anybody?
God talking.
God spoke out of his throat. No. When he spoke, it was the Shechina speaking. Moshe's face. Everybody know this? He had to wear a mask on his face. You know that? Moshe Rabbeinu, by the end of his life, was so holy. Okay, he had to wear a mask on his face. And when he came to speak to all the Jewish people, they lifted up the mask, and his face shone like the moon. They couldn't look at him. Okay, it shone so bright, his face. And it was the Shechina midaberes mitoch grono. God spoke. Because you know what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu took all... You know what? He was the pure Eved. You know what Eved means? He took out his ratzon, and he put God's ratzon into him. He says, I don't want to... Moshe Rabbeinu, do you know the story about there was a king who heard about the great Moses? He said, I want to find out about him. So he sent an artist. This is a medrash. Okay? You know this? He sent an artist to paint Moshe. Okay? Traveled to the desert, painted a real life depiction of Moshe Rabbeinu. Anyone hear this before? Besides Craig?
Yeah.
And he brought it back to his kingdom, and he had one of these face guys study the picture. You know, there are people like that. They could look at your face, and they could say all things about you. I know a rabbi, a big tzaddik in Yerushalayim, who could do it. He said, if people knew what I see on their faces, they'd wear garbage bags on their heads. But he doesn't let people know that he knows how to do it. Only a few of his talmidim know. And you bring a picture. I've done it before. You have to bring a certain type of picture, develop a certain way about your children or about this, and he tells you all about them. And things that I know already are true. You know, and I've done a few times, and I have friends that have done it. So he showed the picture of Moshe Rabbeinu. You know what the person said about Moshe Rabbeinu? This face guy? What did he say?
He's the most evil man in the world.
He did not say he's a tzaddik. He said he has anger problems. He has patience problems. He went through the list of the worst traits possible. What does that mean? I don't know if they killed the guy. They said he's wrong. They sent another one. They did it again. Same result. Finally, they went to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, what's going on? What is this? Yeah, another guy come to it. They went to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, what is this? Moshe says, it's true. You think I was born a tzaddik? I don't know, the worst minus to work on. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's an Eved. He took piece by piece out of him, and he replaced it with Hashem's Ratzon. Hashem, 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 Hashem. He's a total Eved. I wake up in the morning, what do I want to do? What does Hashem want me to do? Wow, all of a sudden, no speaks out of him. You know what speaks out of Moshe's throat? Hashem, why? Because he spent his whole life saying, what does Hashem want me to do right now? You know, sometimes if you have a decision, a big decision in life, right? You have to ask yourself, what does Hashem want me to do? And I take my ratzon and I replace it with Hashem's ratzon. This is what it means. This is the danger of having everything in life. Is that, you know, I don't want to learn when it's hot. Air conditioning goes off. I'm a little cold. This is ratzon Hashem. And someone that does it is only a happier person. Only a happier person. And this is the challenge in our life, I think, is one of the biggest challenges is to be out of our comfort zone and realize that when we're out of our comfort zone, that's the time we can grow the most. And you guys are gonna have times for sure in your learning, in your relationships where you're like, I don't want to be standing outside waiting for 25 minutes. You know, this is life. This brings us closer to Hashem. This puts the Shechina inside of us. You know what the Rambam says? Every single person, every single one of you guys, and me. Everyone could be also Michael. We could be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. Understand that? How is that possible? How can we be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe, what's pshat? Listen, we're all great people, we're all great guys, but like, let's be honest here. We could be tzaddikim like Moshe Rabbeinu. You know what the Rambam says? You know what pshat the Rambam is? Moshe Rabbeinu maxed out his potential. He maxed out. He maxed out. He took out all of his ratzon, put in ratzon Hashem. He was the true real Eved. We could all do that. You're right, we're not going to lead a few million Jews through the desert and split the sea. But if we, piece by piece, you find yourself, next time, try it. Piece by piece, next time you find yourself saying, I don't want to do this, ask yourself, what does Hashem want me to do? And try it. And this is how you build, you know, like whenever you want to, it's the biggest over from Orlik, Shlita, who you'll meet him, it's Hashem. You don't fight problems. It's true for yourself, Salanter, also in Tshuva. Don't take the biggest Yetzirah, the hardest thing for you, and face it head on. The biggest Nisar for me, that's what I'm going to beat. No. Find a small crack, small little something that you could do, that you're good at, and beat it. There's this famous diet. The Rambam has a special way of eating. Okay, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, they say, followed the Rambam's eating. He lived till 96, never got a cold, I think. Okay? This special book was written by some guy from South Africa. I actually stayed by his father's house. I don't remember his name. Great book on the Rambam diet. And one of the things he has over there is the first few weeks, the only meal you work on is breakfast. Like, only have fruit for breakfast for 6 weeks. Like, 6 weeks? Crazy. I want to lose weight today. Not lunch. You want to have hamburgers? You want to have lasagna? You want to... No shawarma? No problem. Breakfast. And then, after a few... 6 weeks? Okay, now breakfast and lunch. What's he doing? Gets you used to winning. I could beat my Yitzhara every single morning until it's not even a challenge anymore. And I'm used to winning. So don't take... If you want to put yourself out of your comfort zone, okay? Don't go to the most difficult spot and say, ugh, that's hard. Find a spot that's a little bit hard for you, a little bit out of my comfort zone, and say, Hashem, I want to do this. You want me to do that? I'm doing it. And then, step by step, we'll become a true Eved Hashem.